I've never a human walked this earth any closer to God than Isaiah. Amen. He had a purpose. He was broken because they wouldn't listen to him. I said, because they wouldn't listen to him. But there's a purpose. And you can be sure, ladies and gentlemen, he had a God. I said, he had a God. But we're dealing with the one thing that's brought us where we are. That's disobedience. We don't preach a thing till it becomes a moral conviction. So we just throw it off our shoulder. I preached in a church. I told them here this morning, I believe, had 1,500 people. I had 600. There wasn't $500 difference between his income and mine. I said to him, what percentage of your people tithe? He said, about 29%. He said, about yours? I said, 98%. I preach it. It's a moral conviction to bring that into the house of God. Jesus talked about money more than did anything else. Don't ever be embarrassed by talking about this gospel. I couldn't be anywhere in these 17 years. $28 million have come through these hands. If that hadn't come, we wouldn't have went nowhere. Amen. Somebody has to sin. Somebody has to stand up and take that role. I'm going to finish this off tonight, holiness and obedience. Now this morning we dealt with this truth. He said, a body thou hast prepared for me. Now you can read that real quick. Push it over. No, say he's talking about Christ. That's right. But the body he prepared is not Christ. I'm that body. Amen. I'm that body. Now I can tell you, a body that you prepared for me, that's the claim of Christ. And to do thy will, O God, is the absolute surrender to that claim of Christ. There's nothing else acceptable with God Almighty. I've watched this Pentecostal world. When you preach what I preach, they called it legalism. Simply because they don't understand the difference between works and the obedience of faith. Amen. When God spoke to a man, it was to a real situation. A real situation. And only the obedience of that put that man in a place where he could believe. Many of you struggling to believe God tonight. And the big problem is there's either conscious or unconscious disobedience in that life. Amen. There's nothing else that pulls a man away. Only on those grounds of obedience is it possible to believe God. That commitment must be made to do what he says. Now, Josh is going to read for me in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 through 6. Anoint the reading, anoint the preaching, anoint the hearing, and above everything else, anoint us the will to do what we hear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did all of you hear that? Amen. See, this is a time that the law is to be given and the covenant made with Israel. At the reading of this, this is a time. Now, hear God's first words to his people. Listen to it. He speaks of redemption and the blessing. The blessing of that redemption is man is brought back into fellowship with God and into the will of God. That is the blessing. You have seen how I brought you unto myself. That's the blessing of God. That is redemption, to bring us unto God back into fellowship. Adam broke that fellowship. Amen. And now redemption. The purpose of redemption is to bring us back into that fellowship with God Almighty. He speaks of holiness as the next thing in the purpose of redemption. You shall be unto me a holy nation. Now, as the link between the two, he places obedience. That is a link between a holiness and the fellowship with God, he places obedience. There is no place in this place for rebels. I don't care how you put it, how you say it. There's no place for a rebel If God has a controversy with you tonight, this is a closed altar to you until you make that right. That which is a conscious, open thing, this is a closed altar to you. Now, God's will, listen, if you will indeed obey my voice, see that obey, that's right between the two, fellowship and the holiness of God. If you will obey my voice, what will happen? You shall be unto me a holy nation. That link between the two of them, the fellowship with God and the holiness of God, is obedience on my part and your part. If you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. There is no way around it, no dodging. God's will is the expression of His holiness. As we do His will, only then do we come in contact with the holiness of God. There's no contact with God outside of that will of God. That's a rebel. And God says a rebel is a sin of idolatry. He doesn't fellowship with that kind of a situation. Now this takes us back to the beginning. You know how that God sanctified the Sabbath day as a time for sanctifying man. That was the whole of it. The whole thing, that seventh day was sanctified, and the reason was a time for sanctifying man. The first thing God did with this purpose was He gave man a commandment about that Sabbath day. No mistaking about it. He laid it out very clearly. Now, obedience to that commandment would have been the entrance into the holiness of God. That man would have obeyed, kept that promise. Then that was the entrance. Obedience isn't the holiness of God, but it brings us in contact with the holiness of God. As we do what we're told. Now, if we preach this gospel till it becomes a moral conviction, we'll find our people walking in this direction. I come into a Pentecostal church. You never doubted what that preacher was saying. You never had to leave the house of God and wonder what he said. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. His whole message directed to help me to walk with God. He knew I can't wander out there in the brush land of indifference to God and have any fellowship with this God. Now, obedience to that command. Holiness is a moral attribute. Listen closely. It's a moral attribute, and moral is what a free will chooses and determines for itself. Amen. God never forces that upon it. See, that is what I choose and determine for myself. Every moral issue is that. God didn't make me where I couldn't commit adultery, but He made me where I could make the choice. Only then do I come. See, I'm not a robot. Jesus was tempted in all points as I am. Being tempted is not sin, ladies and gentlemen. It's giving place to that temptation. But He said, I come not to do my will, but the will of God. My meat is to do the will of God. That was the whole purpose of His wonderful life. Now, what God creates and gives is only naturally good. You look at it. The fruit, the earth, all of that. It's only naturally good. But what God wills to have God, what God wills to have, God and His will are really appropriate. When we appropriate it, then His moral worth, that's what leads to holiness. What God commands out of me, as I make that, appropriate that to my life, is what I'm trying to tell you, that leads to the holiness of God. Not the rules of religion. They are great convictions that will produce a lifestyle that's different from this world. But we can't copy that lifestyle and make a holy man. Everything produces after its kind. And as I walk in obedience with God, I come in contact with that holy God, and it is that life within me that makes me a holy man. Hallelujah. It's only that life within me. Now, in creation, God manifested His good and wise will. His holy will, He speaks in commands. I said, in creation, He created His wise will. and holy thing, but His holy will, He speaks in His commandments. That is what comes. As that holy will enters man's will, and as man's will accepts and unites with God's will, then that man then and then alone becomes a holy man. Only then, as he unites with that will of God. God dealing with me, He expects obedience. If I don't obey, I'm a rebel. He's not my Lord. It is then. I'm not talking about the works of the law. I'm talking about the obedience of faith, where God speaks to me, bring your tithe into this storehouse. See if I won't open the windows of heaven to you. That, listen, that's 400 years before there ever was a law. But that is faith, you see. That's the obedience of faith. He spoke to me a very real situation and opened the door for me to believe God. The first lesson here was obedience opens a door to obedience. You need that lesson to tie all of them together. It has to be in that very place. Now, obedience is the path to God's holiness, because the path with union to the will of God. And there cannot be holiness for any man outside of the will of God. That's the reason prayer occupies such a place in that believer's life. As he waits, he wrestles, amen, to come into that presence of God. Today, there's a modified paganism among us folks. I can tell you, there's a modified. They don't just name it, claim it, but they say, you ask him this, just praise him. Well, I can tell you one thing, if Jacob had said to God once, take care of Esau, then jumped up and run around the building, there would never been an Israel, I can tell you that. I said, there never would have been an Israel. It is he wrestled, I will not let you go. Oh, yes, listen, I learned one thing real early in this life, that I can believe God. This Bible calls me a believer. I don't know who put the electricity in this building. I don't know whether it's cold out here or not. But I can tell you, whoever put it in here, when he pulled up with his truck, had on the side that he's an electrician. And if you demanded credentials, somebody in Alabama, Florida, he went through a university and they gave him a paper, said he can do the work. Well, I can tell you, God called me a believer. That means I can believe God. Hallelujah. That don't mean it may happen this afternoon, but it will happen. I wrestled 9 days, 3 heart attacks. The second one they pronounced me dead. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, on that ninth night, he walked in that room, reached inside that rib cage, squeezed that heart. I've been running ever since. I said, I've been running ever since. Oh, hallelujah to God. If I'd have listened to the idiots that said to me, if you pray a second time, you're praying in unbelief, I wouldn't be here preaching to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. No, no. I wouldn't be in this auditorium talking to you tonight. I'd have been dead so long, I'd have been forgotten. With man and angels, with Christ the Holy One of God, Himself obedience is a path to holiness. You hear what I'm telling you. Leave this building tonight knowing whatever He says to you, do it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. The impossibility is His responsibility, not mine. I must obey and believe that He'll do what He said. Obedience itself is not holiness, but as the will opens itself to accept and do the will of God, God communicates Himself and His holiness to that person. God communicates Himself and His holiness to that person as He opens up to do all of the will of God. Now, see, obedience, not the knowledge of that will. See, we have a Bible school now that make you believe knowledge is possession. But the man that found that pearl of great price, it never made it his. It cost him everything to have that pearl. Now, I can tell you, it'll cost you everything to have this pearl. This isn't cheap, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you listen to that mess. User-friendly, secret-sensitive, purpose-driven. No, no. It's love-constrained, driven by the love of God that push a man off the face of this earth for that Christ of God. That is the only thing. Amen to God. Obedience, not the knowledge of His will, not approval, not even the will to do it, but doing that will of God that puts me in contact with the holiness of God. Doing it. Knowledge, approval, and will must lead to action. The will of God must be done. All the time. Well, God told me, when are you going to do it? I said, when are you going to do it? You're living in rebellion to God Almighty. If you know there's something in that life that you're supposed to be doing, or if there's something in there that's not supposed to be in there, and you refuse to give it up, now you're living in rebellion to God Almighty. Amen. You can't make it. If you indeed obey my voice, you shall be unto me a holy nation. If you don't, the opposite of that is very clear. You'll not be unto me anything. It's not faith, not worship, not profession that God asks in the first place from His people. When He speaks of holiness, it is obedience that He's talking about. Rise up. Do what I'm telling you to do. Get yourself in that house of God. Don't sit there and watch a football game on a Sunday evening while people go to hell. God gave you a measure of faith. Somebody left the house, may have been saved. If you hadn't been home visiting with somebody, playing games with God, listen, folks, we must come back. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. 80% of the Pentecostal churches in this nation, the lights are out on a Sunday night. An absolute refusal to obey what He said. To obey what He said. Amen. God's will must be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That can only happen as that life is my life. Amen. It can't be done by human flesh. Can't be done by human notion. It's only as for me to live is Christ, can the will that's done in heaven be done upon this planet earth. Only in that place. Amen. Amen. Remember and do all my commandments that you may be holy unto your God. Numbers 15 and 40. Now it's a man's work that manifests what he is. Yes, sir. Not by what he thinks he knows, but what he is. What comes out of him manifests what he is. I may know what is good, yet not approve it. I may approve it and yet not will it. That's a vast majority of them. He said to one man, you go and do. He said, no. Said to another, he said, I will. Well, the one that said he will didn't. The same one said he wouldn't did. Which one pleased God? I'll tell you who pleased God is a man that did what he was told. You can approve it. You can say, I know this is God. But until you do what you heard, you've not believed anything. You can believe nothing. It's a man's work. I must know what is good, and yet I may know what's good, yet not approve it. I may approve it, not will it. I may will it, and yet not do it. Thinking is easier than willing, and willing easier than doing. Whole lot easier to talk about religion than it is to live religion. Oh yes, whole lot easier to talk about obeying God than it is to obey Him, to do what God has told us to do. Action alone proves what the object of my interest has complete mastery over me. That's the whole of it. The whole, my actions prove whether Christ is really my Lord or not. If there's anything in your life more important than this Christ, then that is your God. I said, that is your God. He said, not your wife, not your children, not your grandchildren, not your houses or your land. Nothing must be before me. Doesn't matter. Nothing must be. But you know what I've learned? I've learned if I love this Christ More than I loved that wife of 62 years, I can love her more than I ever could have loved her. Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir, I can love her more than I ever could. When I make Him first, then and only then. Amen. God wants His will done. This alone is obedient. God has no other way of making us holy. You shall keep my statutes and do them. I'm the Lord that makes you holy. I'm the Lord that makes you holy. All who would be holy, this is a lesson of the most importance to you. We stand on the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of talk about it, but there's not much believing that that's a reality. I can tell by the action of that church. You can't stay at an altar 10 minutes. Amen. You can't get them to a prayer meeting. I was in a church, I've told this over, but it's such an illustration. They were singing about the coming of the Lord. And that song leader, he's jumping up. Don't you wish He'd come tonight? Oh, I wish He'd come tonight. I said to my wife, do you think He believes that? Well, women don't always understand some of the questions you ask. She said, what do you mean? I said, do you think He really believes that Christ is going to come tonight? She said, well, I believe it. I said, I know it. Call that house anytime after 5 o'clock. You'll find that woman up praying. She's looking for Him to come. But I said, we'll see whether He does. Pastor of that night of that church preached a powerful message. I'm in that altar. I'm not there 5 minutes till that song leader's disturbing me, talking to somebody out there in our congregation. He's not looking for Christ to come. Don't talk to me. He may sing it. He may hop around when He says it. I can tell you one thing. It's the people that look for Him that He's coming after. And to look for Christ is not run around with the eyes in the sky. It's a walking, following that Lamb wheresoever that Lamb goes. Amen. Following that Lamb wherever He goes. It'll lead to Calvary. It'll lead to Gethsemane. It'll lead where it costs you everything to follow. But I can tell you it will be worth it all. Hallelujah. They sing that old song. I see the lights of home. I'm thinking some 60 years ago, 63 years ago, I arrived back in California, 3 years almost, out there in the Pacific. I lived in Foxhole, part of the time ate what we took off of them. I'd been hit once, lived for 3 years, then they made it possible to come home. When we arrived, I said, when we arrived in that California harbor and come off of that plane, hundreds of people, we're the first ones, come back under the new rule. Hundreds of people are lining that street to welcome us home. I'm walking with that old sea bag, walking along, we're burned black from the sun out there. Ms. Roosevelt wanted to put us on an island so they could tame us down, but he didn't listen to her that time. So we made it out all right. But I'm walking down that sea bag. Pretty girl run out there. Said, could I have your autograph? I said, oh, honey, you can have anything I got. I never thought on this earth I'd never see one like you. Oh, but I can tell you, I believe this morning at prayer meeting, I saw the lights of home. Hallelujah to God. We're almost there, folks. It isn't a time to play church. It isn't a matter of numbers. I said, it isn't a matter of numbers. It's a matter of God Almighty. When my wife and I first got saved, wherever there's a revival, we were there. You can be sure, whether Church of God, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, you will know to hear the mess that we got going on today. We were there. We met a lot of pastors in those 4 years before I become a preacher. And I remember I'd ask him, I'd meet him, like Brother Hobbs. I'd say, Brother Hobbs, how's the church doing? Oh, I said, we had 2 filled with the Holy Ghost last night. Brother Kirby, how's it going? You can't believe it. I baptized the whole family this morning. But then come the 50s. Amen. And on to a million. And when you ask a man now, how's the church? We have 10 more than we had last Sunday. We're not believing in God. We're believing in how many tails we can put on a pew by the circus acts of religion. That's the reason we invented that user-friendly. Amen. That they can come feel easy. I can tell you, I thought I was in hell the first Pentecostal church I ever sat down in. I'm trying to hide behind a post. I've never in my life seen anything like it. They're giving tongues, they're interpreted. One time the pastor run out the door. I said, my God, there's nobody to get us out of here now. Amen. I'm a nervous wreck. My wife's a crying. Everybody else is a crying. Oh, yes, sir. No, I can tell you. I can tell you it wasn't used friendly. There's a God there that said, you're not what these are. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. All of us. Listen, all of us who would be holy. This is a profound importance. Obedience is not holiness. Holiness is something of God coming into me. There's none good but God. None holy but God. And holiness. You see, you can have no more of the holiness of God than you have of the Holy Spirit. That is His name. You understand? That is His name. You can have no more of Him than you have of the Holy Spirit. But you can't have any more of the Holy Spirit than you're willing to accept of His holiness. To walk with Him. He's not going to walk with you while you walk out there and play games Monday through Friday, then pay homage to God on a Monday morning. We made discipleship 1 hour in church on a Sunday. But discipleship is following that Lamb wherever that Lamb goes. Following that Lamb, wherever that Lamb goes. But obedience is indispensable to holiness. Holiness cannot exist without obedience. While your heart seeks to follow the teaching of God's words, you hear it, and your heart seeks and looks in faith to what God has done, and as He has made you holy in Christ, never for one moment forget this fact. That obedience is the key of abiding there. If you abide in me, that little word if, put that responsibility of abiding upon me. I determine by the choices I make. Every day that you live and I live, there is an action of the flesh. There's that that comes to you with that flesh. There'll be a counteraction of the Spirit. Or else when that Spirit comes to deal with you about what God wants, there'll come this other side. And your life is determined entirely by the choice that you make. It's not a glass look in your eye, not a slack jaw. It's a determination to do the will of God Almighty that puts me in contact with His holiness. Begin at once by doing what appears to be right. That's the key to it all. Give up at once whatever conscience tells you that's not according to the will of God. Give it up. If there's any doubts about it, for God's sake, I'd rather get to heaven and have Him tell me there's some things you could have done if you wanted to than to get to hell and hear Him say, if you'd have listened to me, you wouldn't be here. Nothing is as important as serving God and being right with God. Not only pray for light, but act. Do what God says. He that doeth the will of God is who? My brother. Oh, if I could run, I'd do it now. Listen, he won't let me jump off his platform. Oh, hallelujah to God. If you do the will of God, you're my brother. You know what that means? If you don't, you're not his brother. He's the firstborn of a new creation. I said, he's the firstborn of a new creation. They do not know. I said, many Christians do not know the supreme place and importance of obedience takes in the Christian life. They do not know that Christ, redemption, and faith all lead to obedience because through it alone is the way to fellowship, love, and holiness and the glory of God. In that way, walk it. I come to do thy will. I delight to do thy will, O God. God's work on this earth was to do the will of God, nothing else. I don't say anything but what I hear him say. I don't do anything but what I see him do. My whole life is governed here. I don't have any honor of my own, no will of my own. I seek only to please him that has called me. Then turn it around and says, he sent me, I sent you. The same call, the same everything about it is all there. All of us have suffered, you know, amen, from this in our prayers for abiding joy, increased power of the Christian life. There have been hindrances, amen, most likely a wrong impression of the absolute necessity of obedience. Amen. That's the reason some of you never got filled. There's something in that life, crossways with God. Amen. You're not walking with Him as you should. Obedience leads to God and to God's holiness. Now, the power of grace from our conversion only is restore us to active obedience and harmony with God's will from which Adam took us. That's the whole of redemption. Restore us to the will of God. We must come to see that disobedience is a missing link and the cause of failure. That's the reason we're here. Listen, this nation, amen, it said the headlines in Pravda, that's a main newspaper of Russia, that America turned Marxist quicker than any nation on this planet. That was their estimation of what happened. I can tell you one thing, folks. I can remember that first charismatic renewal, 1956. We never joined up with it, but we never lifted our voice against it. I said we never lifted our voice against it. The nation followed us into that dark. Oh, I've watched through the years. I said I've watched through the years as we moved away. Now only about 20% of us are filled with the Holy Ghost, and half of them, somebody taught them how to say something in tongues. They've never been filled. You can look at their life. They've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a facade. Somebody told them to say Coca-Cola real fast or something. They're getting a prayer language and not the Holy Spirit. You know it isn't, because it made no change in their life. Just something added to the life that made no difference whatsoever. Listen, the Holy Spirit, amen, is the power of obedience. Without fear, we must say, all that the Lord has spoken, I will do. Hallelujah. That must be. There'll be failure. See, it's a growth into that. That is the process of sanctification. The growth of that new creature to take charge of that body and that soul and force it Godward. That soul is prone to evil all the way to end. And the Bible said you only save your soul by walking in obedience to God and the growth of that spiritual man taking charge of that body. Now, the law given on tables of stone have been praised by law given on the table of the heart. That law, those 12 commandments, now they become a living thing. That thou shalt not commit adultery is not a matter of something that I say I can't do. It's a matter as I walk in the Spirit, then that man doesn't do that. They are temptations, but that temptation came to Christ too. But if I walk in that life, amen, it's not a matter that I've got willpower to do this or do that. It's a matter, if I walk in this life, in the Spirit of God, I will not fulfill the lusts and the desires of this flesh. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a power of obedience and is also power of holiness. Who in obedience prepares our heart to the dwelling place of God, the Holy One? When that heart is prepared for God to live within it, we must, if we would be of value to God, yield ourselves to a life of obedience. There has to be. Now, we have seen how holiness in its nature supposes personal relationship with God. That is His personal presence. I brought you to myself. That's what He said. If you obey, you'll be a holy nation. But I brought you out of Egypt to me. Not some land. You're going to possess it. But I brought you out to myself. And you'll be a holy nation. Mark well God's word. If you obey my voice, keep my covenant. Now, voice always implies a living person, not just a law, but a living person. Acts 13:27, talking about Israel and those hearing that law every Sabbath, they heard the word, they never heard the voice, so they condemned the Christ when He come. You stop 90% of the people leaving our churches on that parking lot. You're outside. Brother White, was church good this morning? Oh, yes, sir. What did the preacher preach? Well, what was that now? What was it? It was good. What was it he said? Amen. I'm telling you, you change the name of it, come back Sunday night, they won't even recognize the same sermon you preached. Dear God, we're hearing words but not a voice. I said we're hearing words but not a voice. But a voice means there's a living person talking to me. Amen. If you hear His voice, don't harden that heart. That's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be. It is this personal intercourse with God that's a secret of gospel obedience. It is being led by the Spirit, having Him to reveal the presence and the will and the love of the Father that will work in us that personal relationship which the New Testament wins when it speaks of doing everything unto the Lord, pleasing God. Such obedience is a pathway to holiness. There is no other pathway. Every act of obedience is a link to the living God, a surrender of the being for God's will, for God Himself to take possession. Every act of obedience, for God to possess us. You know, it's sad. America knows much today about demon possession. You know, they arrested a man in our community. He raped his little six-month-old baby. They had her in a hospital. My God, the little thing. I said they ought to hung him on the way to jail. Amen. What an awful thing. But you see, the further we get away from God, the more savage we get. Amen. The more savage we get. Because there's no light. There's nothing. Man really shows up to be what he is. That's not extreme. He's just nothing to hold him. That's where he's going. I said, that's where he's going. All the way, the pathway is downward. Amen. In the process of assimilation, slowly but surely, the will of God is taken up in our innermost being. See, as we purpose to do this and to obey that conscience, there'll be stumblings. But let this be your prayer. I've learned this. I said, oh God, don't look at my weakness, but look at the purity of my desire. Oh, I never want anything anymore. I'm sorry that I said what I said. But oh, don't please forgive me. But don't look at that. Look at the purity of this desire. So it's in the process of assimilation, slowly but surely, the will of God is taken into our innermost being. Our spiritual nature is strengthened, is spiritualized, growing into a holy temple in which and through which God can reveal Himself. Hallelujah. That's the vocation of the church, to be a revealer of the Christ. Walk worthy of the vocation. That means folks are to take knowledge wherever we are that we have been with this Christ. They ought to see this Lord. Amen. Some 40, 45 years ago, there's a movement begun in this country and it spread all over the world that God is dead. God is dead. They preach God is dead. I remember when I first heard it. I was greatly incensed that anybody could up and say that God is dead. Amen. But then looking back down the hill, I know why they did. They come into our churches and we told them we're the body of Christ. They went out and said that God's dead. How do you know? I saw His corpse. There's no sign of life. Oh, there's high energy music, got them bouncing around. But when it's over, that's all it was to it. I said, that's all it was to it. Just a lot of facade, of flesh. Amen. Kick the shoe to the roof on a Sunday night. Don't know whether you're saved on a Monday or not. My God, what kind of a testimony is that, folks? This is reality. I said, this is reality. Every believer must study to realize what I just said. When God sanctified the seventh day as pure to make it holy, He taught us that He could not do it at once. Amen. It just can't happen instantaneously to us. Being conformed to His image is a process, a lifetime. We'll never be complete till we see Him as He is. Now, the time it needs and seeks is a life of daily, hourly obedience. That I just do what I'm told. I don't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to do this, do that. I need to say if it's the will of God. Amen. No matter what that commitment I want to make, I must know, is this the will of God? You say that's extreme. I'm telling you it's extreme. Amen. But what the reward of this is extreme also. Amen. This isn't cheap what we're coming into, folks. No, not upon your life. Amen. The revelation and communication of holiness must be gradual as man and woman are prepared to receive it. Some grow a little faster than others. But that doesn't mean you throw them out. God reckons us along this line perfect at every stage. We're not what we were. We're not what we're going to be. But if I'm walking in the light along here, then I'm perfect in the eyes of God because I'm doing what I know to do. Now, the time it needs and seeks is constantly. All that is spent in self-will, not living in relation to God, is lost. Totally lost. Amen. Everything is lost when it's spent on that. When we seek daily to hear that voice and obey that voice, God watches over His Word to conform it. You shall be a holy nation. You shall be a holy nation. God will make His abode in the obedient heart. God will live in that heart. And I can tell you, if God truly lives there, men are going to recognize that. I said, men are going to recognize that in our life. Hallelujah. The habit of always listening for the voice and obeying it will only be the building of the temple. The living God Himself will come to live in that temple. That's what makes it holy. Amen. Obedience makes a temple. But when He comes to live within it, the glory of the Lord will fill the house. And the promise made true, I'll sanctify it with My glory. All seekers after holiness are brought to one place, to God Himself. Let obedience, the listening to and doing the will of God, be the joy and glory of your life, and this will give you access to all of the holiness of God. We've created a generation that are so afraid of having any works that we've heard the other side. We've created a salvation without obedience. We got a people saying they believe who do nothing. No matter what God tells them to do, they do nothing. A man wrote me on the internet here just some time ago. I was preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've watched the great Pentecostal church come, said, let's reaffirm that belief. If you think for a minute our fathers reaffirmed that, amen. If you had even suggested that, he said, you need to go to the Baptist church. Amen. You need to find somebody that doesn't believe this. This is what we are. Ain't no reaffirming this, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. But all of a sudden, well, I was preaching the absolute that they taught me. I only preach what they taught me, folks. I preach this baptism of the Holy Ghost. Nothing optional about it. Jesus said the world cannot receive it, but the believer must receive it. He said it's expedient for I go away or He won't come. Now, that word expedient means it's an absolute necessity that I go away. Because it's an absolute necessity that He comes. Well, if it's a necessity for Him to come, it's a necessity I be filled. But most of our churches, I receive tapes that call themselves evangelical. I'm not evangelical, I'm Pentecostal. This church was born talking in tongues, it'll be raptured talking in tongues. Man wrote me and he said, you know, I heard you. But why? Where do you get the tongues as the evidence? I said, well, get it out of the Bible. Three out of four times it said they spoke in tongues. When they pulled the Apostle Peter above on the council for talking to Gentiles, he said, let me tell you before you get too far with this. God gave them the Holy Ghost like He did us. How do you know? I heard them speak with tongues. Yes, sir. If that is proof enough to the Apostle Peter, then I'm not going to listen to Apostle Joe out there somewhere that has a new revelation from God. Folks, it's time to stand up and be counted. It's time. This is where we are, and this is where we are. We are not given no place. You know, in that School of Christ, I believe it's in the Revival Series, I have a message called The Trojan Horse. And I just give the details of Athens, how they pulled that horse up to that gate. They were Greek soldiers in the belly. They didn't know it. And in that reverend, they opened it up. They opened the gate, and the slaughter that night was beyond words. But I compare that with the great Pentecostal church. For 50 long years, they stormed our bastions. They said, why don't you live like we live? They said, speaking in tongues is a murmuring of demons. Amen. It was the evangelicals now that we want to be like that hated us for what we were. I said that hated us for what we were. It was religion that said, you're going too far. Amen. But one morning we woke up, and there's no rocks being thrown at us. Nobody hollering holy roller at us. Everything's quiet. And we peeped out over that wall, and lo and behold, there's a tongue-talking horse in a miniskirt there at our gate. We never ask any question. He come in, and in that belly was every unclean bird. If somebody don't evict that horse and clean up this mess, what's going to happen to your grandchildren, sir? You can follow that mess. You can follow Mr. Rick Warren. He thinks he's going to create a billion Christians and unite him with Muslims, and we together are going to bring peace to this earth. There'll be no peace in our time, ladies and gentlemen. No, not till there's peace in that city. There won't be peace on this planet. You can follow that if you like. But I can tell you that's not the way this path leads. Walk in obedience to God. Speak what God says. Live what God says. And He said, you will be a holy nation. Let us stand. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands to God. Oh, as the pastor read this morning, let the lifting up of those hands be as an evening sacrifice. Oh, my God. Let my prayer be as incense. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory, 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 glory. My God, 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 my God. I love you, Jesus. I pray for you, Jesus. God, help me to hear what you're saying tonight. Please, God. Oh, please, God, let me hear. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 In a minute, I want to stand in there where you are tonight. Listen, I want you to lift them hands. Our song leader is going to lead us in this old song, I Surrender All. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're not going to do that, don't sing it. Don't sing it. You know, I've learned, come time to take that communion, they pass out that bread, pass out that wine. I say, dear brother, that bread you hold is the Word of God. If you don't intend to live by it, lay it back on that plate. Oh, don't you bite into that if you don't intend to live. You're biting damnation to yourself. Oh, yes, you're making light of something God will not tolerate. But tonight, let's just let these lifting up of these hands be as that evening sacrifice. And to Him, let's sing tonight, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Hallelujah.
All to Thee, my blessed I surrender.
Jesus. I do, Jesus. I surrender.